Our Lord and our King, we exalt your name. The entrance of your word gives light. Open now the bread of life to us, like you opened it beside the sea, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that the words that this preacher would preach, would say, let it be ordered from you, that he may decrease to nothingness and you may increase, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I command in the name of Jesus, all spirits, all acrimonious spirits in the atmosphere, we send you out of here in the name of Jesus. The Lord, who is the governor of governors, the senator of senators, the king and the kingmaker, the Elohim, let him take his rightful place in Jesus' name in this assembly. Let him be lifted up in the name of Jesus, and we shall be one in Jesus' name. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to share with us, I totally had a different message. I had a prophetic message in mind that I was burning to share with us. But the Lord turned me around and said no. So here I am today. The title of my message is Unity. Unity. We're going to start from the book of Genesis, move up and come back and wrap it all up. What is unity? A lot of us know what unity is. Amen? When the Lord, Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, he says, we know about the creation. He says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Here we see God in verse 27, 28. All he had done at that time in creating man the sixth day, who did he create when he said this? Who did he create? Man. What's the name of the man? Adam. But listen what he told them, told him. He said to them, and God blessed them. Them, plural. You don't use them if you're singular. Say, replenish the earth and multiply. Where was Eve? Was she created then? She wasn't created then. She was still in there. Amen? And he spoke and he stood fast. So the command was to Adam. Praise the Lord. Verse chapter 2, verse 7. He said, and God and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed unto him, unto his nostrils and breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord, so we see the formation, the creation of man there. Was man created where? The Garden of Eden? Where was man created? He was not created in the Garden of Eden. He was formed somewhere and brought there. So we'll see that as we go along. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. He formed him and brought him, put him in Eden. Where he created man, we don't know. You can see that again in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it. Amen? What has it got to do with unity? Listen, we are going somewhere. So the Lord created man and put him there and gave him a commission. Say, dress it, take care of it. Eve was nowhere yet. There was unity. There was one person and there was unity. He communed with God. He said the Lord came back, came down. Amen? Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. So here we see he created the woman. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the earth and on. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam, right off the back, said, this is now bones of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Their God's original intent is for man, verse 28, to rule, to conquer. And when he brought the woman out, he was advocating. His desire is for unity. Therefore, the man will leave his house and they two shall be one flesh. Anything contrary to that is not God's will. Wherefore, it is important to those of us that are younger and praying that the Lord give you a partner. First and foremost, you want to pray God's will concerning that married partner. You want to know that he's the bone of your bone and the flesh of your flesh. Why? Because when challenges come, where will you run to? Foundationally, he better be from the stock of Adam, from the stock of Abraham, from the stock. Amen? Because then you have a foundational basis to move forward no matter the storms of life that come at you. Can somebody say amen? So here we see God's intent. Have you ever seen one person fighting with himself? He's got to be what? A madman. No, really, he's got to be a madman. You see some on the street. Have you seen some of those? These are African crazy men. They are fighting. They are seeing something that nobody else has seen. You seen that? It doesn't happen in real life for a person to be fighting himself. He must be a lunatic. The first divisible number is two. Eve came on the scene through sin, but God had a plan. Amen? His original plan to make them one. Satan came there, chapter 3, the seed of the woman whom the devil, through whom sin came, he said, that seed of the woman will bruise that serpent again. Amen? So everything working for good, and everything will work for good to those that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose and promises. Can somebody say amen? It does not matter where you are at. It does not matter what you are going through. In the final analysis, the word of God will prevail. It will not return to him void. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So I'm going somewhere with this. So the original intent was for the man and the woman to be one flesh. They work together in unity. They work as a team. Seamless. Everything contrary to that, the enemy has sown the seed of discord. Can somebody say amen? Has anybody ever quarreled or had a deep discussion with their spouse in this place other than myself? Oh, come on, guys. All of you sound like, hey, Peter is the only one who's had a serious discussion with his wife. None of you else have had any serious discussion. Oh, oh man. God have mercy on me, Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The devil has done it. And we are going to look through and go through and see how we will stamp him under our feet. So help us, God. Praise ye the Lord. Now it's established. Even despite that he had two people there and they start to be at loggerheads, his plan was to make them one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 133. It says here, it's just got three verses. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Can somebody say unity? Unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to his skirt of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. When brethren dwell in unity, we go back now to the home. It is God's desire that the home be in unity, in unison. Not you going this way, husband going that way, but in unity. Why? Because when you are in unity at home, she's in unity at home with her husband, you are in unity at home, and we come to the house of God. The sparks of fire, the blessings of God will come down. Can somebody say amen? Because without unity in the spirit, unity in the Lord, all we're expecting is child's play. Amen? He said, one shall put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Can somebody say amen? 10,000. So imagine that all of us here are in unity. What miracles would happen? I'm saying not unity over bread, not unity over food, but unity in the spirit. The impossible will become possible. I said the impossible will become possible. The sick will not stay sick, neither will the dead stay dead, because we are in unity. When the people in Genesis chapter 6, they were united as one, they built a tower. These skyscrapers they are having now is child's play. God had to say, boy, if I leave them alone, they're going to do something else. Amen? But now when we are in unity in the spirit, in one accord, he just reminds me, that what happened? And the tongues, and the cloven tongues of fire came down, and the Holy Spirit came down as cloven tongues of fire when they were in one accord, unity. I plead with you, my brother and my sister, those of us that are married, even the single ones, get with the program of being united in one.
with kingdom business. Be united as one, so that when we come together, a whole different ball game happens.
There has to be a paradigm shift among us as Christians. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. There has to be a difference between your marriage and the unbeliever's marriage. Can somebody say amen? Oh, come on, somebody talk to me. I said there has to be a difference between your marriage and the unbeliever's marriage. If stuff has happened, it has happened in time past. God has winged that. But moving forward, if you are single, get in line with the kingdom business and be in unity with the Holy Spirit. I will see miracles here. That is the way we can get this original intent of God, rule the nations with a rod of iron, in which we speak the word only, and it happens. We have to be in unity. The scripture tells me, Jesus did nothing, amen, unless what the Father did. I'm encouraging us, at home, let us be one. Let us be in unity. Let us be one. Spouse with your husband, wife with your husband, let nothing come between that unity, because it is God's intent, so that the latter day work, among other things that he wants us to do, that's one critical thing, and I'll prove it to you in a little while. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It says, verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Mount Hermon, there's nothing spectacular about Mount Hermon. But he said, the dew of Mount Hermon, as it descends on the mountains, it comes down to the mountains of Zion. As we unite with the Holy Spirit, and we come here, this, you and I, this is Zion. Amen? This is Zion. Your Mount Hermon, wherever you are at, is your Mount Hermon. You should be a fragrance of the Holy Spirit wherever you are at. Amen? I said you and I should be fragrance of the Holy Spirit, ambassadors of the kingdom wherever you are at. Amen. So that the blessings will flow down to Mount Zion, right here, right here. Amen. I'm not talking particularly of just GMI, but my responsibility, our responsibility here, so help us God, is to bring heaven down here, is to bring Jesus down here. Amen. Folks, we have said this time and again, I look forward to the day that the King, His Excellency, shows up, and the preacher cannot preach. Amen? And everybody just keeps silent, because the King is in His holy habitation, and everybody keeps quiet. Has it happened before? Absolutely. Will it happen again? Absolutely. We saw that happen to Solomon in the temple. Praise the Lord. He said, and there the Lord commanded the blessing. Even what? Life forevermore. He said, even in Mount Zion, he commands the blessing, even life forevermore. How many people know Jesus went to perform a funeral service? Did you? Anybody? Somebody talk to me. Did Jesus go to a funeral service to bury somebody in the scriptures that we read? In any of the scriptures, all of us are two students of the Bible. Did Jesus go to a funeral service?
He did.
Did he bury somebody?
No.
Hallelujah. Mama?
Am I right?
Yes.
Praise ye the Lord. The dead couldn't stay dead around Jesus. neither could the sick stay sick around Jesus. Hallelujah. But in today's society, it become the norm. But we are marching. We are marching. We are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, where the Lord will command the blessing, even life forevermore. Praise the Lord. He said, behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. Whosoever believeth, though you are dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Said, believest thou this? As we are changed into light, the dead in our body start changing into light. Amen. The death in our body that has come through sin start changing into light. And we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That is what the word says. And in that supernatural body, you can literally walk through a wall. Supernatural transportation. This is what he's saying in Genesis 28, the commission unity. Praise the Lord. When you bring your unity from the home, from your apartment, single woman, single brother, united with the Holy Spirit, and we gather together here, there the Lord upon Mount Zion, upon the GMI assembly, upon the Tometi family, upon the Okpara family. Put your name there. The Lord commands the blessings, even life forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We see, one, we need to be united in God's kingdom business of holiness. The oil that ran down, he's talking about in the scriptures, from Aaron's hair through his beard, it was, if we look through the book of Exodus chapter 30, 29 to 33, he gave the prescription of how this oil, anointing oil, should be made. And nobody is supposed to duplicate it. I'm not going to read it, but you can read it yourself, write your book and go read it. Consists of olive oil and five other herbs. What is this telling us? In our individual lives, we should be fragrances for God. Two, you cannot duplicate. When the devil cannot duplicate it. When he tried to do it for Moses, the devil tried to duplicate the miracles. After a while, he drew the line. He said, wow, say this is a finger of God. It cannot be duplicated. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. The anointing of God cannot be duplicated. It's original. And when he's upon you, it's a different story. You're not the same person. And from glory to glory, he'll be changing you and changing me. Changing you into the main image of the Christ. And as we are united as one, the supernatural starts happening. I'm imploring us, and myself inclusive, that we should endeavor a paradigm shift to create unity. Unity at home, at all costs, based on the foundation of the Word of God. That's why it's so critical for you to make sure you marry somebody who is a believer, for which you have the same basis of faith. Amen. So that when we come together, God help the sick. Amen. Now the dew that came from Mount Hermon that fell upon Mount Zion, it created fertility. So everywhere we go, we should be fragrances, adders, multipliers, and not dividers. Amen? People should be saying, Sister Nafi was at my place. I felt lifted up because her presence brought an aura, a fragrance of joy and happiness as soon as you walked in. Have you seen people walk into joy? You just feel happy that they walked into my house. You feel blessed. You feel just lifted up. That's what we should be every time and everywhere we go. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I wrote some here. There's nothing more detrimental to unity than ignoring portions of the scriptures because they do not line up to the way we think or the way we want God to be. Amen? There's nothing more detrimental to unity than ignoring portions of the scriptures because it's not, they do not line up to the way we want God to do it. Do we sometimes think, God, my boy, you should know better than this? Has that thought gone through anybody's mind? Why would you do this? Amen? Come on. Let's get real here. You see people who are wars, children's raped, and you say, man, if I was God, I would do something different, right? But you know what? God is sovereign. His love is past finding out. Even in the wars, in all that, it is mercy. It is mercy. It is his mercy. Praise the Lord. Some of us, like I was saying earlier, some of us come to the U.S. from Nigeria, very fervent in the spirit. You couldn't touch them. They had poles and they were prophets and evangelists and this and that. They come to the U.S. a whole different ball game. Different. America brings out exactly who you are. It's a question of time. Amen. It does. Hallelujah. The scriptures, there's a scripture that went through my mind. The scripture said concerning finding a wife. He said, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. He said, who that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains what? Favor. Obtains favor of the Lord. Amen? I asked somebody one time, what does that mean? It means what it says, right? So if you find a wife, you have obtained favor. Right? Have you known of somebody who got married and what they thought it was bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh, it was a thorn in their flesh. So is that the truth? Here is it. Here's what's happening. When you are founded on the word of God, if you find favor, if you marry a wife, you have found favor. What he's telling us is this. It's talking about unity. When Adam was by himself, he was able to accomplish more. The Lord sent him a help meet for him. So one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. When we are united, nothing can stop it between us. Can somebody say amen? That is the mystery. It's not because you find a woman that is a favor. It's a spiritual mystery about that. Say, for this reason, a man shall go from his father and his mother, and they two shall be one flesh, numero uno. And they are working together as a team. As a team. Ladies, gentlemen, whoever you are, let us endeavor to keep the unity in our homes. Because when you don't, it's like the weakest link in a chain when we come here. Is somebody with me? We want, by the grace of God, Jesus to be lifted up above all others. And when you have lifted him up in unison, in unity, at home, we do not have any weak link. Can somebody say amen? Praise ye the Lord. I was led to this scripture. Deuteronomy, verse 32. I'm going to read what it says here, and then I'll stop. I'll come back to it. Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 29. It says, "Oh, that they were wise." Can you hear lamentation there? Say, "Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that my people were wise. That they may understand. That they would consider their latter end." He's talking that they will consider what? Their latter end. We started in Genesis. Amen? That they may consider their latter end. When I saw this, my legs began to quiver. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000? Are you getting what I'm saying? In the latter days, in the latter end, oh, that way they were wise. The wise will understand, but the foolish will not understand. The wise will understand the importance of unity. The wise will understand the geometric benefits of one put 1,000 to flight and two, both of you united, putting 10,000 to flight. Are you getting the message? So together, you achieve more. Praise the Lord. Spiritually, physically, financially. One day somebody came and started prophesying garbage, excuse me, to my wife. Say, "Oh, he saw this vision, he saw that vision." God forbid bad thing. God forbid bad thing. I reject it in Jesus' name. And you don't get me. I reject it in Jesus' name. You saw what? No weapon fashioned against you will prosper. He will put blindness upon their eyes and they will not see her. Yes, so thank you, sister. I love that. When you see a vision concerning somebody or a revelation, that's not exactly right. You go into your closet and pray and get the victory on behalf of that person. And they don't have to know nothing about it. Can somebody say amen? You come and tell the person, "I saw this about you." Nonsense. So put it in rightful place. Jesus has conquered everything. He bore our sins. By his stripes, we were healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I feel like having church. Hallelujah. Said, "Oh, that they were wise and they may understand their latter end." I'm saying to us, in this latter day, the wise will understand the importance of unity and bringing that unity into Zion. And together, nothing will stand before us. I said, nothing will stand before us. Because we are united as one. Under the banner of Elohim himself. Hallelujah. Who conquered death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. To God be the glory. He commands us to be holy. We're going to talk about, try to round up. I will stand in unity in a few minutes. Some practical things that we need to do. We've understood God's original intent, right? Right? Unity, right in the garden. Man and wife as one. John chapter 17. If you know of somebody, maybe some of us have lost our parents, and your parents knew they were going to die, the most important things in their life, they start laying it out to you. Has that happened to anybody? Which dad says, okay, you know what? I have a few more days. I start saying, okay, this is here, that is here. And please take care of your sister, take care of your auntie. I put this money here, here. And starts enumerating. In other words, he gives his testament, his will. He begins to tell you about it. Can you relate to that? Anybody gone through that? Amen. John chapter 17. Jesus knew he had a few days left on earth. He was on the way to the cross. John chapter 17. And hear what he starts to say over and over. How important this issue of unity is to him. Remember, he knew he was going to the cross. So let's open John chapter 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He says here, John chapter 17, read the whole chapter, and it really gets to me how important this thing is to him, because over and over he starts repeating it. Jehovah. Verse 16, he starts praying. John chapter 17, verse 16. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray for these alone, the 12, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He has commanded you to be his mouthpiece. Can you hear that? Look, if you refuse to be his mouthpiece, God have mercy on you. And God have mercy on me. Amen? You are supposed to be God's mouthpiece, witnessing to people and bringing them to the cross. Verse 21. Say, neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they also may be what? Two? One. This is a man, God himself going to cross, said that they may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one again in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Through the unity, the world will believe that he has sent us. When you are married and you have to be going to an unbeliever for counseling, an unbeliever should be looking up to you. We got a problem in the church. Is that true? Is it happening? Yeah. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. That they may be one. Even as we are one. In just those 3-4 chapters, he repeats one about 5 times. Do you see the importance of this to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I the only one who's seen it? It's very important to him, because here he was, he had a few days to go. And it was imperative. Folks, you got to be one. Folks, you got to be one. He says the wise will understand. The wise will understand. In the book of Daniel, say, go that way, Daniel. The words are sealed during the time of the end. I got to rush. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go back. What to Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. Verse 30 now. How should one chase 1,000 and 2 10,000, except their rock has sold them and the Lord has shut them up? What does that mean? The only way that will not happen, one put 1,000 and 2 10,000, is if the Lord has sold us out. You can look at Judges. Each time Israel, they use that word, sold them out. When I was reading this, it didn't make sense to me until he started revealing to me. Look at Judges chapter 3, verse 8. Judges chapter 2, verse 14. He says that what? So when Israel sinned, he said he sold them out to their enemies. May you not be sold out to your enemy in Jesus' name. That is the only way. Two will not put 10,000 to flight. It's if you have been sold out. Our families shall not be sold out. The husbands in this assembly and everywhere that the name of God is exalted, they shall be as one. We shall not be sold out in the name of Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. A few practical things that we can do. We went through some theories, God's original intent, what he had in mind. Now, what are some practical things? This is a paradigm shift that started happening for me. There are a lot of scriptures you could read, but let's read one or two. We can pray together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29-30. Ephesians 4, practical things we can do as Christians to keep the faith, to keep the unity. He says what? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You can't be using bad words for your spouse. You cannot be cursing your spouse at all. Suppose it comes to pass, even your children. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, amen, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Has your husband offended you? He's given us an antidote. Practical stuff that you can do, that I can do. Praise the Lord. I want to read one scripture that carved it for me. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other, what? Better than himself. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, what profession do you know where constantly that professor of that profession thinks of the other party better than himself? What profession is that? All Nigerians know it because you've had slaves. Amen? Servants. Amen? Amen? Every servant thinks of his master better than himself. Is that true? Thank you, sister, for answering, Ojari. Ah. Praise you, the Lord. So God is telling you and I, think of your spouse better than yourself. What a total difference it will make in the area of unity. If I serve my wife as a servant, which is God's commandment, say, let each of us espouse the other better than himself. What starts happening in your home and my home? Amen? What did you say? They didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
Peace.
You espouse your husband better than yourself. Say, my Lord. Like Sarah. I'm not saying you should, but listen to me. It's a whole paradigm shift
that clicked on to me and start serving. The servant, the master, was an example of this, which and every one of us. Can somebody say amen? Am I right? His Excellency, the God of all gods, the King and the Kingmaker, the Lord of Lords, he left heaven to come dwell with us, that he may be touched with the feeling of infirmity. Hallelujah, somebody. He was the epitome of servanthood. So he's commanding us. He's commanding me to esteem my spouse, my wife, better than myself. Start doing that and take it to the bank of heaven and see what starts to happen. Can somebody say amen? Praise ye the Lord. If you disagree with me, that's okay. How many of us will try it? For one day. For 2 days. For a week. For 30 days. Any habit you create in 30 days will stick with you. And hey, you say, but I'm not married. But I'm not married. You know what? Esteem others better than yourself. Love the brethren. Do unto them like Christ. When I deal with you as if I'm dealing with Christ, the peace that goes with it will pass all understanding. Would you find bickering, gossip? When you're esteeming somebody as better than yourself, will you gossip about them? You cannot. More so because you are praying for them also. Is somebody with me? Hallelujah. Am I the only one who's been blessed by this? I'm totally, totally, I was awed. When I used to read that Bala verse, it crowned everything for me. Esteeming my brother better than myself. Bro, better than myself. Eh? Rev, better than myself. Praise ye the Lord. It's a whole paradigm shift. You see, when Jesus came on the scene, he turned around the wisdom of the wise. He turns around everything that the Sadducees and the Sadducees and the Pharisees were teaching. He spun them around. Who is this man for crying out loud? Who is he that has not been taught and he knows? He said before Abraham was, I am. I am that I am. Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to encourage us as I fold up. Be kind, be thankful to one another, appreciate one another, and love one another. Love is action, it's not word. Esteem others better than yourself. Be a servant to all. That he says here, Jesus Christ. Look at here. Finish reading these scriptures. He said, let this mind, verse 5, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to with God. Amen? But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a what? Servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God, hallelujah, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. That in the name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Amen. Of things we are on heaven and on earth and everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I take on that servant attitude and we are in unity, where there is peace, God will lift us up into heavenly places. Yes, we are here. We are with him into heavenly places. And what you say will come to pass. Oh, come on. Say hallelujah. What you say will come to pass. Because you are seated and you are in unison with him. You are in unison with his purpose and his kingdom. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of us that know this song, if you could just hum it for me. One Lord, one God, one Lord, one Lord, one nation, one nation, oh pray his name, one Lord, one body, one Lord, one God, one nation, one nation, oh pray his name. One body, one body, one Lord, one God, one nation, one nation, oh pray his name. One body, one body, one Lord, one Lord, one nation, one nation, oh pray his name. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word that is gone forth that will not return void. I want to thank you, Lord, because it will go to establish the purpose for which you have sent it, that your people may be one. One Lord, one body, one people. That was your purpose. I lift up every family in this assembly to you, Lord. Families that are struggling with situations, they say, Lord, when will you remember me? By the spirit of unity in this place, let those issues begin to be dissolved in the name of Jesus. Let those problems, let those mountains be made level. Let the valleys be filled in the name of Jesus. Where there's discord, I pray, Lord, the spirit of harmony begin to work in the homes in the name of Jesus. As you all appropriate this servant attitude to one another, I pray, Lord, that you enable us to do that which is right in your sight, in the name of Jesus. Hitherto, Lord, every seed that the devil has sown in the family within this GMI family, I come against you in the name of Jesus. I banish your works. I send you out of their homes into dry places in the name of Jesus.
Let the peace of God that passes all understanding begin to reign in the homes in the name of Jesus Christ. Where there is discord, let peace begin to reign in the name of Jesus. According to my word this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for these practical examples you have taught us. Let us not be them that hear and not do. Let us be doers of the word in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Lord and my King. Thank you, my Lord and my King, for hearing us in the name of Jesus.